Today's Bible reading will be from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. If you would like a physical Bible, please reach out to our ushers at the back. Otherwise, you can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Here ends the reading. I will now hand over to Reverend Ying Yi for today's sermon.
Right, thanks a lot. And again, apologies if I didn't introduce myself. My name's Ying. I'm one of the English pastors here, serving along with Dan and Winston. And it was just great to hear about Des's sharing about the new way of doing missions. And I think it was very insightful because, as I said, we want to be reaching the world, but we've got to come up with very new ways of doing it, and a great challenge to all of us to think very seriously about how we can be playing our part in mission. Well, as Dan has said, this month we've been focused on mission because we want to be serious about our vision, which is to be one community where we're growing Christ, serving love, and reaching the world. And when we're reaching the world, we're not just reaching those around us, but also the globe. And God has placed us everywhere, anywhere, so that we can be on mission for him. But our conviction for mission very much turns on what we see is really, really important. Because what we see is important ultimately shapes what we do and our decisions we make. And I saw this very clearly many years ago when I was sitting for my HSC exam many, many years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was. I think for some of you guys, you're in the midst of it. No, you will be in it. Some have just finished it, right? But I remember when I was sitting for my HSC exams, I studied very hard for it. And I have to say I did quite well in the mid-year exams leading up to it. But when the day came for my exams, the HSC exam, that's when everything went completely south and everything went wrong. I had misread many of the questions. I misunderstood some of the instructions. And things I had memorized so meticulously, I had completely forgotten. I had a mental blank at that moment. And I remember after the exam was over, I was absolute wreck. The holiday period between the exam, the last exam, and the results, I was actually in tears during that whole period. Tears because I thought I had failed. Now here's the thing, right? I'd been a Christian for many years and I truly believed in the sovereignty of God, and I was very much strong in talking to people about the good news of Jesus. But when push came to shove and the exams came, it became very clear what I truly relied upon. It wasn't in God, but in my exam results. And why is that? Because I bought the lie by the whole world that this exam was critical in shaping my whole life. That how well I did in this one exam would determine my destiny. It shaped the jobs I would get, I would do it, lifestyle, etc., etc. Everything as I was told, and I believe that lie, hinged on that one exam. Well, by God's grace, I passed my HSC, and I have to say, just. And I'm not talking about an Asian just passing, I'm talking about a Western just passing. I'm literally just passed. But it did expose to me the big question, what really matters? We've been asking that question even just a few months ago. What really matters? And much of it turns on what we believe lies at the end of human history. Well, we're picking up the sermon. The passage we read, we're going to just zoom in on the last few verses of this sermon, which is given by Paul. This passage was preached by Paul, missionary. He was preaching the gospel to a group of Athenian philosophers who, we read in Acts chapter 7, loved nothing more than just to talk about the latest ideas. Paul was touristing, you could say, in Athens. He saw the religions, all the idols, and suddenly he was very disturbed, so he felt it was necessary to preach the gospel there. In that sermon, which when you read it, when Sarah read it, went on for about 1 or 2 minutes, but more than likely would have gone on for 30 minutes. So this passage, you could say, highlights the key points of his sermon. And one of the key points, one, that God is the creator of the world. Two, that he's the ruler. That three, that he's the provider. Four, that people rebelled against him. And lastly, that there is a judgment at the end of human history. We're going to zero in just on that last bit, and that is the day of judgment. Now let's have a look at what Paul says here. And the first thing he says here, having said all he wants to say, he reminds his listeners that there is a day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. Now it needs to be said that for most of us, it's not something we think much about, is it? Not much at all. What are the things that fills your minds? What are the things that shapes your decisions? What are the things that gives you anxiety at night? For you young guys, it's your school exams. For university, it's your university exams or your assignments. At work, it's your deadlines and so on and so forth. These are the things that brings anxiety, that shapes our life. But the whole idea of a day of judgment doesn't figure highly in our minds. We just don't think much about it. And why is that? Well, I suspect one of the main reasons, one of them, there are many others, one of the main reasons we think that the day of judgment either doesn't exist, or at best, it's going to be an easy test. Because the reality is we think we're mostly pretty good with ourselves, and we think we're going to get in with flying colors. It's going to be a walk in the park, so to speak. But can I say that nothing is, that is so far from the truth. The Bible says a lot about what's going to happen on the day of judgment. But listen to couple of things it says here. Have a look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying that every word that you've spoken will be brought on the day of judgment. Empty words. The words that you have said that you regret. The words you've said unintentionally. The silly, stupid, foolish words that you said. All those words, God will hold every single word you have said in this life on the day of judgment. That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? Because I know for most of us, and I say most, if not all of us, there are many things we've said that we've regretted, which we could take back, which we often excuse, I didn't mean to say that. No, I didn't say that. Well, God knows every word. He hears it meticulously, and all those words will be brought to account. But you think that's bad, then go, this goes even further still. Because what does Paul say? This will take place in the day of judgment. God judges what? People's secret thoughts through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. That's even more scarier. Because he's not just judging your words, but even your hearts, your thoughts. Your thoughts. Now, I think most of us know, right? There are a lot of times, the reality is that we're very private people, aren't we? Very private indeed. We don't want people to see what we do behind closed doors, lest they think badly about us. We're often very careful about what we do. Let alone, we don't even want people to know what we think, because we would be embarrassed, if not absolutely ashamed, even if people were able to read our minds. Why? Because we know that if people truly see us in all our technicolor darkness, they see how disgusting we are. Which is oftentimes why we try to justify ourselves, to think we're better than that. That's why privacy is such an important thing for us. But here's the thing, on the day of judgment, there is no privacy. All that's removed. Because every word you've said, every single word you've said, and every thought, even the secret thoughts, the things that you don't even know that you thought, but you did, they will be brought to account on the day of judgment. And that is a scary thought. Day of judgment is not something to take lightly. But it goes further. Because the day of judgment will determine our destiny for all eternity. Listen to what Jesus says here. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear this voice and come out. Those who've done what is good will rise to live. The idea is live eternally. And those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. What Jesus is saying here, this exam, if you might call it that way, will determine our destiny in a way nothing else does. It will determine for us life eternally or condemnation eternally. And once that has been determined, it stays with us. Now, how long? For a year? 10 years? It stays with us for eternity. Now, you tell me which is more important. An exam that will affect you for a year, a decade, 20 years? Or an exam that will affect you for millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of years eternally? You think about it, right? Every other exam, no matter how important we feel it is, does not come any close to the importance of the day of judgment. You see, my HSC, I thought it was so critical, and we think it's so critical for our kids' future, but nothing could be further from the truth. Sure, it might determine what job that they get, it might open doors about the sort of jobs they can get, but there's no guarantee they will get that job, is it? They might get the job and then they're in their head and become a gardener, so to speak, or whatever. They want to become a doctor and then become a gardener. They might actually come into a time of recession where they can't get a job. They might get sick and they can't work any longer. Their family might get sick and they just can't work, whatever the case. And even they fail, guess what? They can resit the exam. But here's the funny thing about even my HSC or exams you have, life will still go on. I didn't do that great in my HSC, but life still went on. Sure, I sobbed and sad and things like that, but life still goes on. Or think about work. We're so worried about pleasing our manager, so worried to making sure that we meet our KPIs, so worried to make sure we hold in our job that we'll do anything This is one of the biggest fears of those who actually work in Japan. There's such a very tight job ethos there that they cannot do anything to disappoint their employers. They might lose their job. But here's the thing, the reality, once you pull back, life can still go on. Sure, you might have to find another job if you can, or you might change career, but life can still go on. Or think about even the Olympics, the well-known ray gun, the sort of breakdancing thing. Okay, everyone really gave her a hard time. But once we get all over that, she'll go on with her studies, her work, lecturing, friends and so on. And the same with us. People will fail in the Olympics. Guess what? They'll sad. They'll be sad for a moment, sob, heartbroken, but life will go on. But what about the day of judgment? This is the one day which really will affect my eternity. It determines forever heaven or hell. This is why this is the day, the one day that really, really everyone should worry about. And this is why Jesus says here about the day of judgment. And if your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. If your eyes cause you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. They're very graphic and they're sort of extreme, but Jesus highlighted that this day counts like unlike any other day. Make sure you get in to eternal life. Can I give you, therefore, a strong warning? I say this to our young people, I say this to our parents, and I say this, and I've said this to all the other congregations, that a lot of times we ask, for us who are parents, some of us are parents, we are literally sending our children to hell. Literally sending our children to hell. Because a lot of times we are more obsessed with them being successful in their exams here on earth, but being blind to whether they're going to fail the day of judgment. We are more important, it's more important that they get a good lifestyle here than they get eternal life. I remember speaking to one young father many years ago, trying to get his son to come to FY. And I sort of cornered him in this sort of courtyard, right? He's trying to weave around me. But, you know, I don't like people weaving around me. When I'm gunning for them, I go for them, right? And I said to him, you know, I said, I challenge, I want you to send your son to FY. And he sort of basically said, look, I do not want to push my son to do anything he does not want to do. He needs to make his own decision. Okay, I mean, that sounds right honorable, but the reality is he was really trying to say his study was his priority. So my response to him was, if your son did not want to do tutoring, would you let him off? Oh, he didn't say anything to that, right? He didn't say anything to that. Let me be brutally honest to all of us parents, and I want to say this to you young kids, right? That the day of judgment is more important than your HSC. The day of judgment is more important than your university assignments. The day of judgment is more important than your job interview. I'm not saying that they're unimportant. Don't get. I'm not promoting laziness, okay? Please don't go to your parents. I don't need to study, okay? Please don't do that, okay? Study hard. But when push comes to shove, what is the most important thing? God tells us there's a day of judgment in which we all need to stand before. But if there's a day of judgment, the Bible also tells us that God has also appointed the judge. Look at what it says here. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice, who? By the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. It's very clear, isn't it, that Paul is referencing Jesus as the appointed judge of that day. Jesus is the judge. You see, Jesus is more than just a teacher. He did do that. But he's so much more, infinitely more than a teacher. He is so much more than a good person. He was that at least. But he's so much more than that. He is more than a prophet. The Bible tells us, according to here, that he is the judge of the world. On the day of judgment, every man, woman, and child, living and dead, because everyone will be raised from the dead, will stand before their creator, their judge. And what is his name? His name is Jesus. It is Jesus. And notice what that passage also says. It is by appointment. Notice what it says there? With justice by the man he has appointed. God has chosen Jesus to be the judge of the whole world. Now, what is the significance of being appointed? It means that you don't have a say whether you like it or not. God has made that appointment. It doesn't mean that therefore you can decide, oh, I deserve to get in. That's not yours to say, because God has appointed Jesus to be the judge, not you. And notice what he says there in verse 31. He has set a day when he judged the world with justice. You know what it means by justice? He will do the right thing by you. He will do the right thing with everyone. So much so, with justice is applied, there can be and there will be no complaints. You can only complain when there's injustice, but God will do all things with justice. He will judge you fairly, so much so that you've got nothing to say against it. Jesus will judge all people justly on that day. Now, here's the thing. How do I know this is all going to happen? How do I know this is going to happen? It's nice to say, day of judgment, nothing's happened so far. It's been 2,000 years, still nothing happened. This is what Paul says. How look what he says here. For he has set a day. How do I know what's going to happen? Because he's put it in the diary. Now you think about it. When I go to say to someone, hey Dan, let's catch up for coffee, and then we go our separate ways. You know what's going to happen? What will happen, Dan? Nothing. Why is nothing going to happen? You know why? Why is nothing going to happen?
It's not a day of judgment.
Because I didn't put it in the diary. I didn't put it in the diary. But if I say to Dan, okay, let's meet up on the 10th of October, 10 o'clock, Burwood, Westfield, Coffee Club, and then I set a reminder, it's going to happen. It will happen, Dan, okay? That's what happens. When you want to make an appointment with someone, you want to catch up with them, if they don't put it in the, if they don't set a date, it's not going to happen. I can tell you that now. That's when I catch up with someone, I say, yeah, let's catch up. Nothing happens. If I don't set a date, not going to happen. That's why I've got to say, okay, let's set the date. How do I know this day of judgment is going to happen? Because God has put it in his calendar. It's in his diary. And how do I know it's going to happen? Because he's also sent reminders. Reminders after reminder after reminder. We'll talk about it in a moment. It's no longer an idea. It's going to happen. That means there's no avoiding it. Now let's pause a moment and think about that. Because when you think about all this day of judgment, that God will judge every loose word and every secret thought, and he will expose it for what it really is, that's pretty scary. But let's remember, that's only half the story, isn't it? Because what's the other half of the story? The Christian message is always about good news. Day of judgment is bad news, but the Christian message is good news. And what is the good news? The most incredible news here is that the judge, Jesus, has done something to offset our problem. And what has he done? He is offering forgiveness. How can he offer forgiveness when he's seeking to be just? Because he has done something most incredible. And what has he done? He has taken responsibility for all your loose words. He's taken responsibility for all the vile intents in your heart. He's taken personal responsibility for that. And what has he done? He's paid for those sins by dying in our place. He took our punishment for us. That is the good news the judge is now offering. There is a day of judgment. Every word is going to be brought before God. Every secret intention will be before. He has done the most incredible thing where he takes responsibility and paid for that. And in so doing, offers anyone who wants it full and complete forgiveness. See, when you come before the day of judgment, is this what God will see? Absolutely. This is what God will see. He will see all your sins, all your lusts, all your lying, all your stealing, even the things that you think are acceptable, God says is just downright vile. But for those people who have accepted the forgiveness and the offer, what will God see? What will Jesus see on that day? I'll tell you what he will see. What? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because everything you've done wrong, even in your secret hearts, has been completely wiped away by Jesus. So for those who do not know Jesus, their condemnation stands on that last day. And that's scary. But for those who've accepted that offer, when they come before the judge, that is Jesus, and he opens the book to review their case, what will he find? A clean sheet. Absolutely clean and perfectly clean. So what is left for us? This is what God calls upon us to do. Well, this is what God says. He commands all people everywhere to repent. And notice what it says. He commands all people. All people, every single person, ever to the four corners of the earth. The God of the Bible is not the God of the West or the East or the rich or the poor, the Chinese or the American. He's the God of all people. And he calls every single person to repentance. That's what he's on about now. There is a day of judgment. But he's offering good news because the judge, Jesus, has done something and he wants to offer that to everyone. So here's the question. The most important question that people need to sit is, whatever it takes, get right with God while you still have a chance. Now I know there's some people here who are not believers. Let me warn you, there is a day of judgment. That day of judgment, every sort of word you've said and every secret intent will be exposed and you'll be condemned for that. But the judge is offering you full forgiveness. If you haven't accepted Jesus, accept that forgiveness. But here's the thing, right? For those of us who are believers, then what's the message for us? We need to take that good news to the world. We need to take that good news to the world. Remember what I said to you about my friend who's not a believer? He said to me, the one criticism you have as a Christian is you have the solution to the world's problem, but you're not telling anyone about it. We have the good news of what God has offered to us that he wants everyone to hear about. We're not telling anyone about it. This is what God is commanding all world, the whole world, and God uses us to send that good news to spread to the whole world. But here is the tragedy. You know what the tragedy is? The tragedy is so much that we're like people, you and me, Christians, we're like people on a life raft, like the Titanic's sinking around us, people are flapping in the waters, dying of the icy cold water. And what are we doing in the life raft? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're debating about who's going to sit in the front of the raft and who's going to sit in the back of the raft. We have some people writing their CVs about their new job and trying to expand their businesses and so on, while people are dying all around them. We have people who are manicuring their nails, thinking about the latest fashion, while people are dying around them. This is what we are like. If you saw that, you'd stop worrying about your job ambition. You stop worrying about who's going to sit here. You stop worrying about your nails. You try and work out what you can do to save these people. The Bible tells us there's a harvest. That harvest is not just around the world, it's all around you. It's around the world, it's also around you. And remember what I said, that God has placed you wherever you are to bring that good news to those around you. Because that is the command of God to the whole world, and He sends that command through us. So the challenge for you is this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, we've been this whole month has been about mission. It's just a nice idea. The question is, what will you do about it? If this is God's command to the whole world, will you be part of that great work to save souls, if I might put that language? What will you do about it? Will you put to death your ambitions? Nothing wrong with being ambitious, but there's a great ambition, and to see as many people saved. Will you surrender your worldly treasures for the sake of seeing the lost saved? Will you get involved? Will you get involved? We've had many opportunities where John Yeo spoke about being missional. You can do that now. Tim Silman talked about the great need around the world. You can go. Justin and Jamie shared about different ways, and now Desmond has shared to us about being professionals. Not going overseas to work because it's cool, but because it's the only way to go and bring the gospel over there, because you can't do it any other way, using your professions. Will you be involved? Will you be part of God's great work? Let me pray. Father in heaven, there is a day of judgment. A day of judgment when people will either be judged for eternal life or eternal condemnation. But we also know the depth and the gravity of our own wickedness. Oftentimes we try to hide it and mask it and justify it. But you see clearly what people are really like. And even now, you see them as standing condemned. But Father, you have given us the greatest news, and that is the judge has offered forgiveness. He offers to pay for the penalty for all that we have done wrong. And now he calls everyone to accept that forgiveness, otherwise to be condemned. Father in heaven, will you burn in us, in every individual here, the reality of the day of judgment, but the incredible good news of Jesus to bring forgiveness to all those who don't know him. Would you galvanize us and mobilize us and make your mission our mission? For Jesus' sake, amen.